Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 5. Notice the very last sentence in that verse. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Now, when we first read this statement, our tendency is to interpret it in two possible ways. First of all, we might think that the Apostle Paul is talking about the return of Christ. After all, we do believe in the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We believe that. Christ's return, in a sense, is at hand, meaning that it could happen at any moment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Aren't you looking forward to the rapture? The more that transpires in our culture and in our country today, the more I look forward to being a part of the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. The Apostle Paul viewed the return of Christ as the blessed hope of the believer. That's why he writes in Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. Folks, let's pause right there. Our hope is not down here. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we believe that the coming of Christ is at hand. But I really don't think that's what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. The second interpretation, which I believe is the right interpretation, is that Paul is talking about the presence of the Lord with us. He's emphasizing the fact that the Lord is always with us. Our God is not a God that is a million miles away, but our God is the ever-present, ever-abiding God. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that truth here today? He's always near to hear the cry of our heart, and he's always near to help us and to strengthen us in our time of need. Over and over again, the psalmist reminds us of this wonderful truth of how near the Lord is to us. Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Do you have a broken heart today? Maybe you're going through a deep, dark valley in your life right now, and you're hurting today as you've come to worship with us here at Canton Baptist Temple. I want you to know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Psalm 119 and verse 151, "Thou art near, O Lord." I'm glad he doesn't say, "Lord, you are far, far away." That's not the case. We, as God's people, we are truly a blessed people because the Lord is with us. Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him." Do you need to call out to the Lord today? Maybe you've exhausted all of your resources and you don't know who to turn to. I want to encourage you with this thought. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. And you can call out to him and he'll hear your cry today. Now, back in this message that I preached last week, you remember how I dealt with three particular subjects. I dealt with worry and fear and anxiety. All of us deal with that, do we not? I know I'm not supposed to worry, but worry and fear and anxiety, that's part of life, is it not? It's part of being human. It's what we deal with. Well, I want you to understand that the statement that I'm preaching on today, "The Lord is at hand," really fits in with those subjects. And let me explain why. Keep in mind that when Paul wrote these words, there were no verse divisions or chapter divisions. Those were later inserted for our benefit so that we can read the Bible and it'd be a little bit easier for us to read as it's divided up into verses and divided up into chapters. And so this was a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. So the last statement of verse 5 is actually connected with the first statement of verse 6. Look at your Bible again. Read it that way now. Often with verses, we tend to just end the thought right there with verse 5 and maybe not connect it or carry it forward into verse 6. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now that makes a lot of sense, does it not? The Lord is near. The Lord is with us. So therefore what? We should not be anxious about anything. We shouldn't worry about anything. That's what Paul is emphasizing. We should not be overcome as God's people. We should not be overcome with fear and worry and anxiety because the Lord is with us. Now, if we're trying to navigate our way through life without the Lord, and often at times we do that, we think, oh, I've got this God, and I can figure this all out on my own. If we're trying to navigate life without the Lord, then yes, we have good reason to be overcome with fear and with worry and with anxiety. But as believers in Christ, we need to constantly remind ourselves of the wonderful promise that we have in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let that promise really settle deep down into your heart here this morning. The Lord has said, I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. Have you paused lately and thought about how blessed you are to have the Lord in your life? You think about that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Lord in your life. Often in my visitation, back when we were able to get into the hospitals and go up and visit maybe a name that's been given to us, a prospect, and we go and visit that individual and they're yet to trust Christ as their personal Savior, and maybe they're about to die. They're struggling with something terminal, and you talk with them, and yet they still are rejecting Christ as their Savior. And often I leave those kind of visits and I think to myself, how in the world do people make it without the Lord in their life? Or maybe you go to a funeral home and you're trying to comfort some people that you know don't have the Lord in their life, and they're just hopeless. And they're going through that difficulty of losing a loved one. And I leave that funeral home thinking, how do people make it without the Lord in their life? Have you paused lately and thought about how blessed you are to have the Lord in your life? Think about that this morning. Folks, as believers in Christ, we are never, ever alone. God's presence empowers us to live the victorious Christian life. The Lord not only saves us, but then he wants us to live a victorious Christian life. Now, you cannot do that in your own power, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, your own abilities. No, no, no. It is God's presence that empowers us to live the victorious Christian life. Now, as you know, as a church family, you've been challenged this year to read through the entire Old Testament. And I know that many of you have committed to that Bible reading schedule, and you're reading 3 chapters a day, which is a little more challenging than it was last year with 1 chapter a day. But I want to take a moment, and I want to give you some Old Testament examples that we've recently read in our Bible reading schedule concerning God's presence. So as I tell these stories, you're probably going to remember them if you have been sticking along with our Bible reading schedule. The first example is a man named Abraham. We read about him in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 21, a heathen king named Abimelech recognized that there was something different about Abraham. Abraham had something that he didn't have. I want to read about that in Genesis 21 and verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now that is a reference to what? The presence of God being with Abraham. Essentially, King Abimelech was saying, Abraham, there is something different about you, and I think I have figured it out. You have the Lord's presence in your life. It's obvious that the Lord is guiding you, and the Lord is persevering you, and He is blessing you. Folks, the same ought to be true for you and for me. An unbeliever ought to be able to look at our lives and see that there's something different about us, right? An unbeliever ought to look into your life and say, you know what, there's something different about you. What is it? Well, it's not that we're any stronger or that we're any smarter than anybody else. No, really what makes the difference is the presence of the Lord in our lives, right? When somebody says, well, what makes the difference in your life? Why are you so different? You don't say, well, I'm just really a smart person. Or I'm just really strong. I can get through the tough times. No, no, no. We know that in and of ourselves, we are but dust, right? We're weak people. And what we have an opportunity then to say is, I have the presence of the Lord in my life. That's what makes us different. Moses puts it this way in Exodus 33 and verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? In other words, is it not that we have your presence with us? Is it not in that thou goest with us, he says? So shall we be separated. We'll be set apart or sanctified, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. According to Moses here, what distinguishes God's people from everyone else is the presence of God. If God is with you, then you belong to God. If God is not with you, then you don't belong to God. Now, Paul puts it this way in the New Testament, Romans 8, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you remember the day you got saved? You remember that? Go back in your mind to the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you remember where you were? You remember that? You remember when you got saved? The moment you trusted, the moment that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you, right? And that's why we call Him the indwelling Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And so it is the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit that sets us apart as a child of God. If you don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, then you're not a child of God. You say, well, God created me, so I must be one of His children. No, we are not children of God by creation. We are children of God by redemption. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit, and it sets us apart. It sanctifies us as a child of God. May I remind you that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and that means that He is co-equal, He is co-eternal with God the Father and with God the Son. And so to have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us means that we have the presence of God in our lives. Amen? By the way, as a believer in Christ, in the book of Ephesians, we learn that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You say, what does that mean? Well, what that means is from the moment that you got saved until the moment you see Him, either by death or by the rapture, we have the presence of God with us. That's a wonderful thought. The moment you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. So you have God in you right now. The presence of God is with you. And you're not going to lose the presence of God. You're going to have the presence of God until you die and you see Jesus face to face, or we are raptured up to be with Him forevermore. Often I hear Christians pray. I've actually heard some members of our church even pray like this, so don't take this personal, but I want to at least enlighten you on something. I often hear Christians pray, Lord, please be with us today. And I hear people pray that. And I know what you mean. I understand it. I think it's appropriate maybe to pray that we might recognize the presence of God with us or sense the presence of God with us. But I want you to know that you don't have to pray for the Lord to be with you today. He's already with you today. You don't have to pray for him to be with you. He is with you. You may say, well, I don't always feel his presence with me, okay? Let me say a few things. Number one, you cannot always trust your feelings. Number two, feelings are subjective, but truth is objective. That's why the question should never be, how do I feel about this? The question should be, what do I know to be true about this? So you may be here today and you say, well, I just don't feel the presence of the Lord in my life. Well, the truth is, he is with you always. So you have the presence of God whether you feel it or not, right? So let me give you another Old Testament example, one that we read in our Bible reading schedule, Jacob. Jacob was a man who lived up to his name. He was truly a schemer. He was a deceiver. And in Genesis 27, he cheated his own brother Esau out of his rightful blessing as the firstborn son. Esau was so angry at what had happened that he threatened to kill his own brother Jacob. And so Isaac and Rebekah felt that it was best to send Jacob away. Besides, they did not want him marrying any of the Canaanite women. And so Jacob was sent to his uncle Laban's place. Along the way, he decided to camp out for the night, and he used stones as pillows. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a very comfortable night's sleep, you know? I get frustrated even going to like a Hampton Inn. I don't know how many of you stayed at Hampton Inn. They have about 4 to 6 different kinds of pillows on the bed, and none of them are comfortable, by the way. I tried them all out. Some of them, you sink way down in them, and some of them are hard, some of them are thin, and you know what I like to do? I like to take my own pillow with me, right? That's what I do. If I'm in driving distance and I have to stay in a hotel, I take my own pillow with me. Well, Jacob, he piled up some stones and made us a pillow that night. And the Bible says that he had a dream, and he saw a ladder that reached from earth all the way to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. When Jacob woke up, this is what he said in Genesis 28 and verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. If he was going by feelings, he would have said, well, I don't think the Lord's in this place. But what did he learn? He learned that the presence of the Lord was with him. Listen to me, because we may not always feel it. We may not even always recognize it in our lives, but we need to understand that God is always with us. God is with us. And that's why we don't need to be people full of worry. Why would we be consumed with worry? The Lord is with us. What have we to fear? God is with us. Why should I be full of anxiety? The Lord will take care of the situation. See what I'm saying? When we understand that the Lord is with us, it ought to change our perspective of life. We should not be people who are full of fear and worry and anxiety, but rather we ought to be people who are full of hope. We are full of peace, and we are full of joy. The third example I want to give to you is Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, you find God making a very, what I would call, very blunt statement. This is what God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a pretty blunt statement. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, from a human perspective, that statement alone would have no doubt caused Joshua to be overcome with fear and with worry and with anxiety. Joshua had always looked to Moses for leadership and guidance, but now Moses was gone. And on top of that, Joshua had been chosen as the next leader over Israel. But notice after saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, God then goes on and he gives Joshua a wonderful promise. Joshua 1, verse 5, and the first part of verse 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. What is that? That is a promise of the Lord's presence. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Woo, that is good. Folks, the Lord is with us and he will never ever fail us. He will never ever forsake us. And then he goes on and he says, be strong and of a good courage. Now that statement there, be strong and of a good courage, reminds me of the theme of chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. I told you that the theme of this passage of Scripture is spiritual stability. We find the theme of these verses back in verse 1. Look at Philippians 4, verse 1. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Just like Joshua, with God's presence, we can stand fast. In the midst of adversity, we too can be strong and courageous. Why? Is it because we're tough people and we have what it takes? No. We're weak people and we don't always have what it takes. But the good news is the Lord is with us. And the Lord will never fail you and the Lord will never forsake you. On and on I could go with Old Testament example after the other. What about Gideon? In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What about Jeremiah? God told Jeremiah that the whole nation would turn against him. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. He cried a lot because the nation was backslidden and turned against the prophet of God, Jeremiah. But then God goes on and gives Jeremiah a wonderful promise in Jeremiah 15 and verse 20. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Isn't that like God? God says, hey, you're going to have a lot of problems in your ministry, Jeremiah. People are going to be against you. People aren't going to like you. But I want you to understand something. I'm going to be with you. You see, God essentially tells Jeremiah, it doesn't matter if the whole country turns against you. The only thing that you need to remember, Jeremiah, is that I am with you. And I'll be the one to save you. I'll be the one to deliver you from those who come up against you. What a wonderful promise. What about Isaiah? Isaiah 43, the latter part of verse 1 says, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Let's take that Old Testament statement there and apply it to our lives. When you've been redeemed by the pure, precious, powerful blood of Christ, God looks at you and says, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Boy, I'm glad that I belong to the Lord. Aren't you? We've been bought with a price, by the price of the precious blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful thing to know that as believers, we belong to the Lord. Then look at verse 2, Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Maybe today you say, preacher, I'm going through some deep waters right now. It's a tough time in my life. I want you to know the Lord is with you. Just like he was with Isaiah, his prophet, he will be with you because you are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He says, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. You say, hey, I feel like I'm in over my head. That's where some of these expressions come from, deep waters, and I'm in over my head. I don't know if I'm going to make it. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God assures the prophet Isaiah that with his presence he could go through the deep waters and he could even go through the raging fire and come out on the other side unscathed. Each one of these Old Testament examples teach us that it is a powerful thing to have the presence of the Lord in our lives. Listen to me, because I want you to know something here this morning. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God is in you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is with you, and God is for you. You let that sort of settle deep down into your heart and into your soul today. God is in you, God is with you, and God is for you. God's not against you. You're one of His children. He's not carrying around a baseball bat waiting for you to get out of line so He can knock you across the head with it. No, He's cheering for you. He wants you to live the victorious Christian life. He wants to help you and strengthen you and sustain you. It is He that is with us, and it is He that is for us. There's no need to worry, because the Lord is at hand. There's no need for you to be overcome with fear, because the Lord is at hand. There's no need for you to be full of anxiety, because the Lord is at hand. There's no need to be overwhelmed by the challenges of life, because the Lord is at hand. When you feel all alone and you're wondering if you're going to even make it another day, I want you to know the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. God is with you. God will sustain you through that difficult time. If there's anything we have learned over the last year dealing with the COVID pandemic and all that it has done to our personal lives and to our community and our country and even to our churches, is that God has not abandoned us. God has not deserted us. God is still with us, and He has revealed His presence to us in a very real way from time to time, as He has saved people and we've seen people baptized and lives transformed and people added to the church. Last week I was so excited. We had Matt Horning, his wife Candace, and their four children to come forward and join the church at the end of the service last week. Six new members just like that. Amen. And what a blessing. God continues to work. God is with us, folks. You might say, where is God? Where is He going? He's still with us, just like He was before the pandemic. He's with us through the pandemic, and He'll be with us after the pandemic as well. So I ask you again, have you paused lately and thought about how blessed you are to have the Lord in your life? I've tried to encourage you today. I'll be honest, whenever I was studying for this, I thought to myself, I need this message. I need to preach it, and then I need to go sit on the front row and say, amen. That's good. I can relate to that. But we need to be encouraged. The Lord is with us. Folks, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you had the Lord with you when you walked into this worship center. He's been with you all throughout this service as you've worshiped and as you've sat and listened to this message. And the Lord will be with you when you walk out these doors here in a minute. God has promised to never leave you nor forsake you.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.